You know, God don't want to live in any junk. Let me just say that right there. And just think about, what kind of temple have you provided? What kind of tent have you provided for God to live in? When Moses built the tabernacle in the Old Testament, it was calculated in today's terms that it cost about $13 million. Everything that went into the building of the Mosaic tabernacle in the wilderness. $13 million. And who told him to build it? God told him to build it. When Solomon built his temple, it was calculated that in today's currency, that Solomon's temple would be worth $681 million. With all the gold and all the furniture and all the fine wood and the ivory and everything that went into Solomon's temple, $681 million. What is that letting us know? That's letting us know that God don't want to live in any junk.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of Lord, Prepare Me to Be a Sanctuary. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Lord, Prepare Me to Be a Sanctuary.
1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom ye have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And I want to speak to you on this topic today. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Is that your desire this morning? Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. As we look at our text today, Paul lets the people in the church of Corinth know that their bodies are the place where God resides, that God lives in them. And as you think about the fact that Christ died, and he said that if I die, I go away, and I'll send another comforter. I'll send the Holy Spirit. And when Christ ascended in the glory, the Holy Spirit came to live in our bodies. And the question that I would ask today is, what kind of sanctuary have you provided for God to live in? The scripture says in the Old Testament that the place where God dwelt was like a tent, or it was a tent. And it says that our bodies are tents, that the Holy Spirit takes up residence, that the Holy Spirit lives within us, empowers us, teaches us, guides us, directs us. And with all that the Holy Spirit does within us, I want to ask you the question, me the question this morning, what kind of tent have we provided for the Spirit of God to live in? God don't want to live any junk. Yeah. God don't want to live in any junk. Let me just say that right there. And just think about, what kind of temple have you provided? What kind of tent have you provided for God to live in? When Moses built the tabernacle in the Old Testament, it was calculated in today's terms that it cost about $13 million. Everything that went into the building of the Mosaic tabernacle in the wilderness. $13 million. And who told him to build it? God told him to build it. When Solomon built his temple, it was calculated that in today's currency, that Solomon's temple would be worth $681 million. With all the gold and all the furniture and all the fine wood and the ivory and everything that went into Solomon's temple, $681 million. What is that letting us know? That's letting us know that God don't want to live in any junk. Now, he says right here in 1 Corinthians, don't you know that your body is the temple for the living God? And if God will invest that much in a physical structure,
that is going to be torn down, how much does he expect from us, his people who will live with him throughout eternity, to have a temple that he would be honored and glorified? You see, as we deal with this question, what kind of tent have you provided for God to live in? See, some people thought that he meant a pup tent. You know, you see the pup tents. I remember when I was little, we used to have pup tents that we put out in the yard and sleep in overnight. And then we would take them down the next day. And sometimes we got pup tent Christians. You know, they come to church on Sunday morning, get their praise on and their worship on, and then they walk out the door and they take their tent down. It's down for the rest of the week. Then we've got not only pup tent Christians, but sometimes we got circus tent Christians. What is a circus tent? Well, a circus tent is something that you put up for the show for the crowd to see. You know, there's a lot of Christians that are putting on a show. Circus tent Christians. You know, you're putting on a show, but God knows the real deal. He knows what's inside of you. What kind of tent have you provided for God to live in? The songwriter said, "Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. And with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you." As we look at our notes this morning, and this is the first part of a two-part message that I'll finish not next Sunday, but Sunday after next, that the sanctuary was devoted to God. And we want to look at a couple of things this morning. We want to look at the design, the dedication, and the decontamination as we consider this whole idea of the sanctuary. The first thing is the design, and that is the sanctuary, or the Moses tabernacle in the Old Testament, was designed by God. Look in the book of Exodus, back in the book of Exodus, chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25, and beginning reading in verse 8, God says to Moses, "And let them make me a sanctuary. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the furnishings thereof, even so make ye it." So the first thing that I want to say is this, is that the tabernacle was designed by God. This was not something that Moses came up with on his own. This was not something that Moses went out and began to talk to architects, and Moses went out and began to talk to designers and individuals of that nature. No. God said that I want you to fashion it according to all that I will show thee. So the tabernacle was designed by God. It was crafted by God. And like I said, God don't want to live any junk. All the millions of dollars that they spent on the tabernacle that Moses erected, God said, "I will design it. I will design the way that I want it." Well, as we look at the New Testament, we see that the body of the believer was designed by God. Now, he designed the tabernacle just the way that he wanted it. And in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 10, we see that the believer's body, that the believer himself or herself is designed by God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says here, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them." The tabernacle was designed by God. Paul said that we are his workmanship. This word workmanship is a very interesting word. It comes from the Greek word poema, which you know we get from that, the word poem. But it has a deeper meaning than than a poem, because it means that it's something that's handcrafted. It means it's something that's tailor-made. We are his workmanship. Have you ever put something together? Have you ever built something for yourself? Maybe you built a desk, or maybe you built a bookcase, or maybe you put together a special meal for somebody that was coming over to eat at your house, and it was designed by you, and it was put together by you. And you said, well, look, you know, this will be nice, the meat, and this will be the starch, and this will be the vegetable, and this will be the dessert, and this is the kind of drink that I want. And you thought through it, and you got it exactly the way that you wanted it, because you wanted to be right, and you handcrafted it, you thought through it, and you got exactly the way that you wanted it. The Bible says that we are God's workmanship, that we have been handcrafted by God. We are God's poem. I think I shall never see a poem as lovely as a tree. A tree whose mouth is pressed against the earth's sweet flowing breast. A tree that looks at God all day and lifts her leafy arms to pray. A tree that may in summer wear a nest of robins in her hair, upon whose bosom snow has lain, who intimately lives with the rain. Poems are made by fools like me, but only God can make a tree. Only God can make a tree. You have been put together, you have been designed, you have been crafted by God. God looked and saw you and knew you were coming, and God said, this is exactly the way that I want you. Now just let my spirit live in you, and you will fulfill. Look what he says right here. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before, a long time ago, ordained that we should walk in them. So all we have to do is let the Spirit of God live in us, and he will guide us and direct us. Designed by God. And you know, the fact that we've been designed by God means that there's certain things that we shouldn't be able to do. That we shouldn't be able to do. It amazes me sometimes when we have people that are visiting, musicians come, and they want to play, you know, the instruments, and you know, they'll get up here, and you know how you go to some churches and the guy gets on the organ, and he'll be playing, oh man, he'll just be going off and playing that thing, and they'll come here, and I'll see them get on that organ right there, and they'll try a little bit, but they just can't get it. They just can't get it. And in my mind, you know what I said? The reason you can't get it, because it's not designed to play that kind of music. Just like you see, you know, as we look at who we are and the way that God designed us, that there are certain things that we have not been designed to do. The Bible says that you are a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So you need to walk in the newness of this design. There are certain places that you shouldn't go. There are certain things that you shouldn't do because it's against your nature. It's against the very fabric of who you are. Because you haven't been designed for that. When Christians are in places that they shouldn't be, and they're doing things that they shouldn't, you are going against the very design. You know, it takes work to go against the thing that you were designed for. And the sad thing about it is that so many people have worked against the design for so long, and they've pressed against the design for so long, now it's just easy for them to flow right into the wrong thing. Because they've cut another groove. They've redesigned things. So God says here that, you know, we were designed by him. Handcrafted by God. All your faults, all your imperfections were designed by God. And God knew. God knew who you were. God knew what you were going to be about. And he said that, look, don't make any difference what you feel your faults are. If you just let my spirit live in you, if you just live a clean life and let the spirit of God be manifested in your life, then all those faults and all those setbacks and all those difficulties, we can work with that. We can work through it. We can move ahead if you just let me fill your life. So the design, the tabernacle was designed by God, and the believer is designed by God. The tabernacle in the wilderness was designed to be occupied by God. What did he say in Exodus chapter 25 and verse 8? He said, "Let them build me a sanctuary that I may dwell alone, that I may dwell among them." Let them build me a sanctuary. And what was the purpose for building the sanctuary? The purpose for building the sanctuary is because God wanted to live among his people. He wanted to live in the midst of his people. You know, for the longest time, it seemed like to the Hebrew nation that God was way out there somewhere, especially when they were in Egypt in slavery. Many of them had to ask the question, where is the God of Abraham? Where is the God of Isaac? Where is the God of Jacob? Where is he at? And God called Moses and he said, look, I want to come down and I want to walk among my people and I want to live among my people. And the thing that I want you to do, I want you to build me a sanctuary so that I can live among them. And let me tell you this, Moses, I don't want to live in any junk. I don't want to live in a place where the roof is leaking. I don't want to live in a place where the plaster is falling in. I want to live in a place that's falling apart. I build me a sanctuary. For $13 million, build me a sanctuary, God told Moses, because God don't want to live in any junk. And so what about the believer? Well, the believer was designed to be occupied by God. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? That God's Spirit dwells in you. Man, what a powerful concept to think about that. That whenever I walk about my daily life, that the Spirit of God lives in me. God's Spirit, and I take God with me wherever I go. If I'm a Christian, if I'm a believer, I may not have the fullness of the Spirit if I'm not walking right, but I do have the Spirit. Man was getting ready to be unfaithful, commit adultery. And before they got ready to commit adultery, he said to the lady, well, let's pray about this. And she said, I don't want God seeing what I'm doing. Well, if you're a Christian, God is already there. He already is right there. And so we need to realize that when we go into mess and when we go into sin, we take God in it with us. He said, well, where you get that from, Pastor? Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He says here in verse 15, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. How can I drag Christ into this mess? Christ is in me. God lives in me. I can't drag God into this mess. What? Know ye not that he who is joined to a harlot is one body? For two say he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. And then he says, flee fornication. Flee fornication. Why? Because as a Christian, when you enter into something ungodly, such as fornication, sex outside of marriage, he says, you're taking Christ into that. And God, you say, well, I don't want him to go in with me. Well, if you're saved, he's with you. Now, you might want to go back and ask the question, am I really saved? I need to ask that question. That might be the deeper issue that I need to deal with. You know, I've had people tell me some interesting things. I asked one couple why they wanted to get married. You know what the young lady told me? So I could have guilt-free sex. She was a Christian, knew the Lord, loved the Lord, but she wanted to have guilt-free sex. What are you doing? You are when you enter into that bond with somebody outside the marital relationship, you are taking Christ into that. God lives in you. The design, God lives in you. The dedication, the tabernacle, was sanctified and set apart unto God. We won't read that, but in Numbers chapter 7 and verse 1, it talked about the dedication of the tabernacle and how that the tabernacle, once Moses constructed it and the construction was finished, how that he dedicated it to the Lord. He consecrated it to the Lord. Just like the temple or the tabernacle was sanctified and set apart for God, so the body of the believer is sanctified and set apart unto God. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Mighty quiet in here this morning. I guess y'all must have got all your praise out when Jeff was up here praying and when the choir was up here singing. Y'all got all your praise out there. That's what it is. I understand. All right. Y'all got it all out. That's good. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So he says here that you got to present your body as a what? As a living sacrifice. You've got to sanctify yourself. In the Old Testament, you know what that word sanctify means? See, you know, we've added all these terms of sanctification today, and we think that it's some nebulous term that's out there that only the holy and sinless and most righteous can attain. Sanctification meant two things in the Old Testament. First of all, it meant separated from ungodly use. And then it meant dedicated to God's use. That's what sanctification meant. Now, you know, we've added all these other terms to it today, but that's the bottom line of what sanctification is. And Paul says here that you as a believer, that you have been set apart from the world and you have been dedicated unto God. That is the dedication, that you are separated and that you are dedicated. And are you walking like that? As a matter of fact, verse 2 in the Greek is in the present imperative, and it says, and be not conformed. You know what the literal translation is? Stop being conformed. Stop being conformed to the world. You know, you've been going down that path long enough. It's time to stop. It's time to stop being pushed in the world's mold. Stop being pushed in the world's mindset. And walk in this path of dedication unto the Lord. And it's very interesting because actually what he's saying here, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the idea here is what he's saying is don't be veneered with the world. You know, the veneer was something that was on the outside. He said because, you know, if something was veneered, that means that who you really are deep down inside is not coming out because you've been veneered with something else. That's just like if you took a piece of expensive oak or pine furniture and you paid all this money for this furniture because of the wood and the beauty of the wood. And then you go to Walmart and buy $1.09 can of paint and you take that brush and paint over that. You've covered up the true essence of that table. You've covered up the oak. You've covered up the beauty of it. And when Christians veneer themselves with the world, they are actually covering up the true essence of God in them. God lives in you, the hope of glory. And you know, this the idea is not to be a part-time devoted person. You know, we have sometimes people got part-time. Well, you know, I'm going to be devoted when I go on Sunday. And then, you know, when I have my devotions, because that's what devotions are.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Lord, Prepare Me to Be a Sanctuary. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Lord, Prepare Me to Be a Sanctuary, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request, Lord, Prepare Me to Be a Sanctuary. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.